Theatrical Shenanigans with
Laura Hogan.
Hello there, and welcome to the start of our brand new season of Theatrical Shenanigans. For those who are new to the show, I'm your host, Rachel Feeney-Williams, and I've been running this podcast since January 2023 with the hopes of bringing the works of amazing playwrights across the world to life, as well as having chats about theatre with lots of lovely guests. So let's meet our first one, shall we? My guest today is a Georgia-based actor, playwright and voice actor. She studied at multiple theatrical educational institutions, including Atlantic Acting School, as well as American Conservatory School, to name just two. She's actively involved in her growing theatrical community as a member of improv groups Flying Squid Comedy and 1992 Honda Civics. She's on the board of trustees for her local community theatre, serves on multiple committees and is active in the Collective Artists Workshop, the Classic City Shakespeare Company, as well as being a single mother. So I'm amazed she could find time to chat to me. Welcome, Laura Hogan.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
It's a thrill to have you. So as The Sound of Music says, we start at the very beginning.
How did a very you get good this... place to start.
Exactly. How did you get your start in theater?
Oh, it's actually really cute. So I took ballet as a kid, and I talked too much in ballet class. So I was told that maybe I should go try some like musical theater class instead, because it was okay to make noise in that. So yeah, I got sent over to the kids who talked space. And then I never came back. I mean, I do still actually dance. I love to dance, but you know what I mean? I'm not a ballerina.
It's very much a non-vocal thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
But looking at the organizations you're involved with, it's obvious that improv plays an important role for you. What made you decide that was the element you wanted to get heavily involved with?
Oh, that's a fun story. So first of all, I thought I was terrible at it for years. Horrible, horrible, horrible at it. And I was like, I could never do this because you don't have a script. I like to make plays. I like to do things with scripts and writing. There's words on a page that you get to like read. And even if you're writing it, you're putting them on a page. And then I went and I had to do it at the American Conservatory Theater with someone named Barbara Scott, who was very fabulous. And I realized that you're just creating the script in front of you. And it's really fun because it makes you have an opportunity to listen and to learn and communicate. And then I kind of fell out of laps with some improv for a while. And then again, it was something I was drawn back to actually during COVID times, because it made you realize like how important, which is funny because we're not in person together. We live across the globe from each other, not across, but like across a pond or whatever from one another. And it makes you realize though that like how much you miss that human connection and that like in-person element of spontaneity and like present moment awareness and thinking on your feet and just like community. And there's no other, I think, art form in the same way. Like, I mean, jazz bands have it with their improvisation, but it forces you to find a collective narrative and like tell a story together and really listen and support and like feel safe with people. It kind of forces you to always be out of your comfort zone and always like take a new approach and just like connect to the present moment, which I think makes all of life and all of your art, no matter what medium you do, whether you're a playwright or a writer, just a, you know, novelist or a scientist, like I, you know, people are scientists that I do improv with, and that's also really fun.
So then you've also taken a wander down the road of playwriting. How did that come into play?
So I went to Emory University, which is a college in Atlanta, Georgia, and but they have a very big playwriting program with an emphasis on new works, and I didn't even know that wasn't normal for colleges to have. So like I took playwriting in college. We hosted new work festivals where you got to actually be a part of, you know, like the first readings and workshops for plays. Like I got to work on Antebellum with Robert O'Hara and be really working alongside equity actors and, you know, stage managers and everything and professionals in the industry. And I didn't know that wasn't normal. So thank you, Vinnie Murphy, if you're listening to this, for creating such a wonderful safe space and teaching us about playwriting. And it's just something that's stuck with me ever since.
But you work both in obviously the live performance and then the voice acting side. Do you have a preference between the two, or is it kind of an equal labor of love sort of thing?
Everything is different. You can't, it's like comparing apples to oranges. So like you get to have, like, it's nice when you get to do something in like your home or at a studio or whatever, where you don't have to have makeup on and you can just waltz in. But like, for example, live theater, there's just nothing like that visceral moment, like where you feel the audience there with you, right? Yeah. But then also
Absolutely.
film is lovely because you get to keep taking takes. Like you get to keep doing it over and over again, you
Yeah.
know, which you can do in voice acting too, but like in a different way, you know, like you see people's faces. So they all have different things that are really lovely about them. And that's what's really cool because there's like different opportunities and ways you can grow them and expand.
And lastly, just before we hear the play for this week, do you have a standout moment from your time in the world of theatre that made you think, yeah, this is why I do this?
Every time is a standout moment. Yeah, I don't think there's ever like I can't say like there's one moment like I can look back and be like, oh, that moment like, you know, changed my life or whatever in like a positive way. But I would say every single time I've taken a class or, you know, performed on stage or, you know, filmed something or recorded something or just been a part of a collaborative team or even like attended a board meeting for like a theater nonprofit, I don't think I've ever been like, oh man, this isn't good. Like, why am I doing this? No, instead I'm like, oh, this is why I do this. Like, it matters. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, every time.
So now we move on to hear about our playwright and play for this week. Marnie Thompson is a Scottish actor and proud graduate of Queen Margaret University in Edinburgh with an honours degree in acting and creative enterprise. Her journey in the world of performing arts began with a passion for acting, but recently she's delved into the realm of playwriting, discovering a whole new dimension to her artistic expression. And she's actually previously had a brush with theatrical shenanigans when she played our Ghost of Christmas Past in our 2023 Christmas special. Marnie's play is called Treatable, and Marnie talks about it as a deeply personal piece reflecting her own life and the challenges she faced when her mother underwent cancer treatment during her school years. Marnie goes on to say, it's a raw and honest exploration of those tough times, especially juggling exams while dealing with such a significant family struggle. Theatrical Shenanigans presents Treatable by Marnie Thompson.
God, it's a cold one today.
Oh, you're always so punctual, Julie.
The quicker I'm in, the quicker I'm out.
I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. Come here, I'll get you settled. By yourself today, then?
No, no. Caris actually has a half day at school today, so she'll be here any minute.
Oh, brilliant. I finally get to meet that daughter of yours. Right, here comes the not-so-fun part.
I always dread this. Me and Needles don't seem to get along.
3, 2, 1. There, that's you. Easier than last time, eh? So, how are things at home?
Yeah, not bad. They've been better. But I did talk with my boss the other day about taking on less shifts.
Good. Well done, that's a start.
I just can't bring myself to leave. Just yet.
I know, it's hard. And scary. How's Caris doing with it all?
Oh, she's fine. You know what she said a few weeks ago? She said, do you think your hair will have fallen out by Easter? I said, I really don't know, sweetheart. Why? You know what that wee terror said? Oh, because I really want to paint your head like an Easter egg. Can you believe the nerve?
Oh, kids are something else. They can be so strong. Anyway, can I get you a cuppa?
Oh, yes, please. Milk and 2 sugars.
No problem. I'll even see if I can swipe you a Tunnock's tea cake. Back in a jiffy.
You're still not reading that drivel, are you?
I'd be a hell of a lot further if you stop interrupting me.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Where's your coat?
Didn't wear one today.
Caris, it's the middle of February. You'll catch your death.
I'm fine. I'm wearing 2 pairs of tights.
I thought you got off school at 12. How did it take you this long to get here?
I ended up in cardiology.
What? How?
I don't know. Saw the sign for cardiology and just kept walking. Just thought it was like a library. Like alphabetical order kind of thing. Thought if I kept walking, I'd end up in chemotherapy.
God, I thought you were a grade A student as well.
I'm afraid we're out of tea cakes, but I got you a couple of caramel wafers. Oh, you must be Caris. You look so much like your mummy. I've heard so many things about you. I heard when you grow up, you want to be a doctor. Who knows, in a few years' time, we might be working together. Now, this is a medicine that will hopefully make your mummy feel all better. Do you know what it's called?
Yes. It's an intravenous chemotherapy. I see that it's in the forearm, so I'm getting a thread through the cannula?
Yes, that's correct. I'll get you another chair.
God, you're a wee condescending bitch, aren't you?
What? She asked.
You better get off that chair. There'll be another patient in soon.
I thought this was a private room.
Yeah, okay, Your Majesty. No, all these chairs will fill up eventually with other people.
So you all just sit in one big room in silence while being hooked up to an IV bag?
Yup, pretty much.
So what does it feel like?
What, having a know-it-all for a daughter?
No. Chemo.
Oh, it's like being at the Bahamas with a cold glass of champagne. Oh, there's a young boy, maybe 13. He comes in with his dad. Just sits there playing on his doodad Game Boy thingy. Brave wee guy. Taking it in his stride. His dad just stares at him in awe. Oh, and then there's the old woman that comes in, always with a bag of lemon sherbets. She moans about anything and everything to the poor nurses.
So no bad side effects then?
A bit of an upset stomach now and again.
A bit of an upset stomach. That's it?
Yeah.
Mum, my bedroom and the bathroom share a wall.
Oh, God.
Yep. I mean, nothing will top the time we went up north in Urban.
Don't.
Oh, come on, that was funny.
Yeah, not for me.
How did you not know you were allergic to shellfish?
I don't know.
You were shitting and spewing at the same time.
Language.
How did you ever manage that? I mean, you must have been like this on the toilet.
That's my seat.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
That's...
Mrs. Lemons.
Go see where that nurse is with your chair. Still called out? How are you doing today? That was my daughter. She can be a bit vulgar. I apologise. Oh, okay. Bye. Good talk.
Nope, lost her. Didn't want to trouble any of the other nurses. Lady Lemons is having a right go at them. Back in my day, blah, blah, blah. Back in your day, you were drinking enough cough syrup with opium and snorting cocaine for a toothache.
No cocaine here, I'm afraid. But I found you a chair.
Oh. Thank you.
Sit. Tell me about school.
Nothing really to report. Except Jennifer got her vape confiscated today.
Jennifer vapes? God. Tell her if she's not careful, she'll end up in here next to me.
Oh, Mum.
What about your classes? All set for your exams?
Yeah.
What's your next one?
I've got chemistry on Thursday.
And? How we feeling?
Yeah, all right.
Have you been working through that book of past papers I bought you?
Yeah.
And you've been getting good marks?
Mum.
Okay, okay. I'm just being a mum and worrying about you.
I'm fine, honestly.
Okay, I believe you. You know, whatever the outcome, I'll always be proud of you.
I know.
Right, I'm bursting for a wee. I'm all right, I'm all right. Just need to drag this thing to the loo. I won't be long.
You should tell her.
What?
You should tell her.
Tell who what?
Your mum.
that you're having a hard time at school.
Yeah. No, I'm not. School's fine.
Come on. I may be old, but I'm not stupid.
A nosy old bat, that's what you are. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, that makes us even. I shouldn't have been eavesdropping.
Honestly, you are right. I'm failing out of most of my classes. I'm behind on pretty much all of my assessments. I've no idea what I'm going to do. I'm supposed to be at supported study class this afternoon, but I just wanted to be here for Mum. I don't want her to worry. There's too much on the plate right now.
You need to tell her. A problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah, I will. I will. Just not right now. Things are a bit stressful at the moment.
Well, I'm going to see if one of those nurses will get off their fat arse and make me a cuppa.
You really shouldn't talk to them like that. They're very busy.
You should have heard the way my patient spoke to me.
You were a nurse.
A charge nurse, yes.
Still, that doesn't give you the right to talk to them like that.
Were you just talking to Mrs. Lemons?
What? No.
I've never been able to get a word out of her. Come here. Look out this window. That's where you were born. In that wing right over there. Right over the courtyard.
What?
Yeah, that building there. That's where you were born.
Really?
Who'd have thought that 17 years later, we'd be here?
Let's get you seated. Oh, your tea's went curled. Where's the machine? I'll go get you another one.
Ugh, it's out of order. You'll need to go down to the wee calf downstairs. But it's all right. I'm fine.
No, I'll go. Is there anything else you want?
No. I'm fine, sweetheart.
You okay, Julie?
Oh, yes. Just reminiscing.
Can I get you anything?
No, I'm okay. Caris is away down to the calf.
That bloody coffee machine. Apparently it's getting fixed next week.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Could you pass me a school bag? She's bound to have some chewing gum or something in there.
You've got that metallic taste in your mouth again.
Yeah, it always comes on near the end.
Here you are. I'll go and get you a cup of water as well. There you go. At least the water fountain still works, eh?
She's failing.
What?
It's a report card.
Oh.
She said she were doing well.
Well, maybe they're old report cards.
No, these are recent.
Well, maybe she didn't want to worry you.
She said that she were doing fine. Why would she lie? I would have helped. Is she scared of me? Am I putting too much pressure on her? Look, she were on track to getting an A in English, and now she's on track to getting a low C. She loves English. She's brilliant. She corrects my grammar all the time. And her stories. She's so imaginative. I can't believe it.
Maybe this is a conversation you should be having with her. I'll put your water here. Just let me know if you need anything. Oh, Caris, a tuna melt. Good choice, that's my favourite. What else you got there? Salt and vinegar McCoy's and two Empire biscuits. Nice. And what are these?
Two teas.
Well, you two enjoy your little picnic. I'll be back later, Julie.
She's a bit of an oddball. Has Mrs. Lemons come back yet?
No, not yet.
Well, she wouldn't mind if I steal her seat for a bit. Here's your tea, and they were giving out free Empire biscuits. Should come here more often. Thought we could have a panini. They only had tuna melt left, or an egg sandwich. Thought this would be less smelly.
Why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what?
That you're failing.
What?
I saw your report card, Caris.
You went through my bag?
That's beside the point. When were you going to tell me?
You were snooping.
I wasn't. When, Caris?
I was going to, I promise.
When? In August? When your results come in? When?
Tonight. I was going to tell you tonight.
Caris, why didn't you tell me sooner?
Oh, I just couldn't find the right time. Things have been so hectic.
What?
There's always something.
What? What do you mean?
Like, there's always an appointment, or a scan, or a treatment. If you're not at the doctor's or a hospital, you're having consultations with voodoo witch doctors and getting reiki. There's just never been the right time to talk to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you've got nothing to be sorry for.
Do you want to talk about why you're failing? Are you playing hooky? Is there a boy?
Mum, no.
Then what is it?
It's just... Oh, it's complicated.
Well, tell me. We can figure it out together.
I can't. I can't concentrate.
Okay. Well, do you know why you can't concentrate? Well, tell me. Sweetie. Maybe I can help.
I can't concentrate because... Well, because of you.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No. No, darling. I'm sorry.
When I'm in class, all I think about is she okay? How did her hospital appointment go? Has she got her test results back? Has she eaten? I just count down the hours until I get back home to see you and to make sure you're okay.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Caris. We'll get through this. I'll phone the school in the morning. See if we can get a meeting with your teachers.
That won't solve anything, Mum. That won't stop me from worrying about you every minute of every day. I mean, when you go to the toilet during the night, I stay awake to make sure you make it back to your room all right. I put my phone in my textbook in class just so I can follow your location. I make you your dinner every night just so I know that you're eating well.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I'm here. Looks like that's you finished for the day, Julie. There we go, all done. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good. Well, you take your time, and when you feel ready, I'll just be out at the desk.
I feel awful. Caris, I don't want you worrying about me anymore.
Easier said than done.
Yes, I know. What can I do to help?
I want you to be honest with me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me how your appointments go. I want you to tell me about what treatments you're going to be doing. Tell me how your meds are making you feel. I just want to know.
Okay, I can do that.
Really?
Yes, I promise. I promise to tell you everything.
Promise?
Promise. But you need to promise me to tell me when you need help with schoolwork. Yes?
Yes. Okay. I promise.
How about we take an hour before dinner to study together? You teach me what you've been learning in class. How does that sound?
Like hell. But yeah, that could work.
Good. Right. You finish your tuna melt. I'm going to say goodbye to all the nurses.
Oh. I was told your mum was looking for me to say goodbye.
Oh, you must have just walked past her.
Goodness, I've got my head up my bum today. Oh, here are the leaflets your mum was asking for. I'll just put them here.
Ready to hit the road?
Mum, what's palliative care?
Equal measure of touching and heartbreaking is the phrase that immediately comes to mind. That was Perdita Lawson as Julie, Amy Wilson as Caris, Heather Dalton as nurse, and Monica Brodowska as old woman in Treatable by Marnie Thompson. So, Laura, what did you think?
I'm really sad, but I'm also uplifted. Is that like an appropriate response?
Yeah, to say I say touching and heartbreaking in equal measure. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's entirely appropriate feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I am a mother. I don't know if you know that, but I am. Yes, I'm a single mom. I raise a child, I mean, like, as in, like, by myself, not with, like, you know, other people. And he's a lot younger, but it does make you, like, stop and go, oh, gosh, like, how would I feel? And, like, I'm still, you know, thinking and reeling about how it would feel if I was in that situation, you know, at any of the roles. You know, I've also been a daughter, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and I have friends who have, I mean, I have a girlfriend whose mother died of ovarian cancer when she was in high school. So, like, obviously, and she also got really bad grades and stopped studying and things. So, I don't know. It was just maybe really stopping. You know, I'm thinking about her. I'm thinking about what it would feel like to be in that situation. Like, what would I do? And I don't know, you know? And that, I think, to me is always a sign of a good script and a good storytelling when you just are like, oh wow, what would I do in this scenario? And you're thinking and feeling it afterwards.
Yeah, it's they there are some people say writing comedy is easier than writing drama, but I think the reaction to get a reaction from drama is a lot harder than to get one from comedy.
But it doesn't drag you down because a lot
No.
of things that are sad, you're like, okay, now I'm gonna go feel sad. And
Yeah.
like at first you start listening and you're like, is this even going to be like sad? You know, you're like, oh, this seems kind of happy. Like I'm kind of smiling along, even though it's a serious topic. It feels very lighthearted. There are laughs in
Yeah.
it. You know, you feel it's not, you know, there's moments of joy and laughter, which I think is the best way, I think, in some ways, to tell a story that has some heft to it, because you need both to you need all the
Yeah.
feels.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's got this great sense of timing, I feel. So like you're brought into this kind of hard conversation of Julie having to pull out of her daughter that she's failing at school and why. But then you've still got, as you say, those moments of lightheartedness that do kind of make you go, oh, this isn't all sad or it isn't all serious. And I think it's got those expert points of timing right the way through.
It definitely does. And that's part of life too. So it does feel, you know, like a realistic scenario that you unfortunately could see it happening. I mean, I guess you'd have to go to a chemotherapy place to see it happening horribly,
Yeah.
but it felt very realistic in that way too.
And I think it was a almost cathartic relief when it does all come out. As sad as heartbreaking as it all is, it's much better, at least from my perspective, to know that both mother and daughter aren't keeping secrets from each other anymore. Because Julie doesn't, I mean, let's say as sad as it sounds, Julie doesn't know how long she's got left. Carrie doesn't know how long she's got left with her mother. Do they really want to spend the rest of their lives kind of shrouded in secrecy?
But even so, she was keeping secrets because the brochure is at
Yeah.
the very end, and you're like, I would like, you're like, oh, is that really? Is it over? Is it over? Oh, it's over. Oh God, it's over. Palliative care.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I mean, like you do wish you could almost have what comes after, but I like that it's
Yeah.
not there, because obviously there was one final secret that is being laid out on the table unintentionally, so to speak, but like it is like there's nothing left now, they're all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, and I like the fact that she left it on that one moment of this last secret has just come to the surface, but we're not privileged enough to see that last secret. We've seen all this, the rest that they shared, but we're still left with this one nugget of not knowing, is she gonna fully explain it to her? Is it just a leaflet that she's been given, you know, for long, long time in the future, or is it something that's an immediate concern? We don't know that as the audience. And I think that would the great thing about listening to it or seeing it live is you walk away from that one like cliffhanger moment and then spend 20 minutes discussing it in the pub.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, I mean, totally. Because it's like, well, what does that mean? And what would they say? Like, what is the reaction? What conversation happens next? And I do like that it's up to our imaginations and our discourse right now to talk about it. What do you think happens next?
Okay, we are almost out of time. Laura, your final thoughts overall on the piece?
Oh, I really did love it. I am still going to be thinking about it, probably tomorrow and the next day. And I think that is the most important and powerful thing you can do, and be sharing and making sure all my friends listen to it so they can think about it and talk about it with me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, we are out of time. Laura, thank you so much for joining me and discussing this wonderful play. I'm pretty sure we could discuss it for hours, to be honest.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's the kind that you can. So,
Thank you so much for joining me.
thank you. Have a great day.
And that brings us to the end of our very first episode of this season. I hope we've entertained you enough to bring you back for more, and thank you so much to Laura as my guest, Marnie as the playwright, and the four fabulous voice actors of our wonderful play for this episode. I will see you again in 2 weeks' time for our second instalment, but in the meantime though, I've been Rachel Feeney-Williams, this is Theatrical Shenanigans, bringing down the curtain and saying, I hope you can join us next time. Theatrical Shenanigans, part of an RFW Scripts production. Found on Spotify, Amazon Music, Podbean, and anywhere else you can find your podcasts. Music is written and produced by Chris Cody.